All right, so we're ready to start, and we have a very exciting class tonight because we're going to get into the different emotions. Previously, we were talking about vibhavas. I'll mention that later. Let's chant Jaya Radha first. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunda Bihari, Jaya Radha Madhava Kunda Bihari, Gopi Jana Malabha Kiribhara Havati, Gopi Jana Malabha Kiribhara Havati, Yasodhanandana Vrajajanuranjana, Yamunatira Vanachari, Yamunatira Vanachari, Jaya Radha Madhava Kundabihari, Jaya Radha Madhava Kundabihari. Gopi Jana Pallaba Giribhadadhati, Gopi Jana Pallaba Giribhadadhati, Yashodanandana Vrajajana Ranjana, Yamunatira Vanachari, Yamunatira Vanachari, Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjavihari, Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjavihari. Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahansa Paravatacharya also Teda Satashi Shimad His Divine Grace Savaya Jananada Bhaktivedanta Goswami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai ISKCON Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Anantakoti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai Say, Kaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nichananda Shidwaita Giridhara Shri Vasudeva Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gopi Gopinath Swayam Kund Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan Ki Jai Vrindavanam Ki Jai Mathuranam Ki Jai Jagannatha Swami Ki Jai Yamunamayi Ki Jai Srimati Lalasa Devi Ki Jai Samaveda Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai Gaura Paremananda Hari Hari Bol. All glories the assembled devotees. All glories the assembled devotees. All glories the assembled devotees. All glories to Shri Guru and Gauranga Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Gaura Paremananda. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Budle Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swamini Namani Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pacharani Nivashesha Sunyavadi Pashyati Tejatarni. So Omagana Timidanda Shaganjana Shlakaya Chakshur Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So I offer my respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of my spiritual master, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada, who so kindly opened my eyes with a torchlight of knowledge while I was blinded in the darkness of ignorance. So we'll chant this stanza written by Srinivasacharya before Nectar Devotion class. Nana Shastra Vicharane Ganipano Sadharma Samstapako Lokanam Hitakarano Tribhuvane Manyo Sharanya Karo Radha Krishna Padaravinda Vajana Mandena Mata, Nandena Mata Liko, Mande Rupa Sanatuno Raguya Go Sri Jiva Gopala Go Oh Jai. So the translation of this: I offer my respectful obeisances unto the six Goswamis of Vrindavan, namely Sri Sanatan Goswami, Sri Rupa Goswami, Sri Raghunath Bhat Goswami, Sri Raghunath Das Goswami, Sri Jiva Goswami, and Sri Gopal Bhatta Goswami, who are very expert in scrutinizingly studying all the revealed scriptures for the with the aim of establishing eternal religious principles for the benefit of all human beings. Thus they are honored all over the three worlds, and they are worth taking shelter of because they are absorbed in the mood of the gopis and are engaged in the transcendental loving service of Radha and Krishna. So, we'll go on to the nectar of devotion. So just a brief introduction. So a brief introduction before we start, and let me share the screen first. So today we're going on to chapter 27, which is entitled Symptoms of Ecstatic Love. So the brief introduction is as follows, that previously in this section of the Nectar of Devotion, we were dealing with stimulations for these, or stimulation for ecstatic love. And that's called vibhava. I know I'm repeating myself. And there's two types of vibhavas. One is called the lambana, and the other one is called the dipana. A lambana means directly Krishna. Dipana means things that remind you of Krishna or things connected with Krishna, okay? So the last few chapters have been about these different stimulations, the qualities of Krishna, the devotees of Krishna, the qualities of the Supreme Personality. Anyway, I think you get understand what I'm talking about. So that's the first category, the vibhavas, under the whole section of bhavas, or emotions, or ecstasy, whatever you may call it. So the next category is called the anubhava. Anubhava means what you voluntarily do after being stimulated by your vibhavas. Because vibhava means stimulation, so that's reiterating myself. After being stimulated, or another way of saying it, after experiencing a vibhava moment. You know what stimulates you, just like nowadays, America is having an election, so that's stimulating my thoughts. But I'm not feeling any ecstasy because of that. So anyway, so now we're going to talk about anubhavas. Remember that. Anu means that which follows. And these are voluntary expressions that you can hold back if you really try. But these are voluntary expressions of ecstasy once you're stimulated. Okay? So this chapter is called Symptoms of Ecstatic Love. And it's about anubhavas, okay? And I remember a devotee, his name was Anubhavananda, and he was always ecstatic. That means, the Anubhavananda means the ecstasies of experiencing anubhavas. Actually, Anubhavananda Das, so he's a servant. So the bodily symptoms manifested by a devotee in expressing ecstatic love, remember that, that's the operative word, expressing, he's expressing or she's expressing ecstatic love for Krishna, are called anubhava. Practical examples are as follows. Dancing, rolling on the ground, singing very loudly. Of course, in the coronavirus time, you may not want to sing that loudly. I was having a discussion with someone, they said, well, singing is as bad as talking as far as spreading the virus. And I said, well, when you sing a lot louder than when you talk. Anyway, stretching the body. Ooh, joy. Crying loudly. Yawning. Not yawning because you're tired. when yawning just that is a symptom of ecstasy. Breathing very heavily, neglecting the presence of others, drooling. Now, generally drooling is considered a sign of ignorance. In fact, if you sleep and you are drooling, that means you're given an opportunity for the subtle living entities to enter and disturb you. Laughing like a madman or a madwoman, wheeling the head and belching. So these are all symptoms of ecstasy. Now, it's not that every time you laugh like a madman, not that every time you laugh like a madman, that's spiritual ecstasy. I mean, you could be laughing like a madman just because you're crazy, too. But these are symptoms when they're connected with Krishna after you've experienced a vibhava. Why is it? I'm skipping. Anyway. So, neglecting the prayer, drooling, wheeling the head and belching. When there is an extraordinary excess of ecstatic love of all these bodily symptoms manifested, one feels relieved transcendentally. Okay. These symptoms are divided into two parts. One is called shita, and the other one is called kshepana. When there is yawning, the symptoms are called shita, and when there is dancing, they're called kshepana. In other words, yawning is more peaceful. Dancing is more, let's say, physical. You're really going out there and making a scene. So dancing. While watching, so these are different instances of anubhavas that are cited in relationship to various devotees. While watching the rasa dance performed by Lord Krishna and the gopis, Lord Shiva beheld the beautiful face of Krishna. So remember, here we're describing the vibhava, the rasa dance, which is also alambana and udipana, because the rasa dance has other people other than Krishna, and the face of Krishna. It's also vibhava, that's alambana. So you got alambana and udipana stimulation, and immediately began to dance and beat upon a small dindim drum. While Lord Shiva was dancing in ecstasy, his eldest son Ganesh joined him. So here you see an anubhava, which is actually dancing, and other symptoms too, which are not mentioned. Rolling on the ground. In the third canto, first chapter, verse 32 of the Srimad Bhagavatam of Vidura, inquires from Uddhava, "My dear friend, is a Krura in an auspicious condition? Not only is he a learned scholar and sinless, but he is also a devotee of Lord Krishna. He has such ecstatic love for Krishna that I have seen him rolling upon Krishna's footprints in the dust as if bereft of all sense." So that's the vibhava is Krishna's footprint, which is the udipana, and rolling on the ground is the anubhava. Similarly, one gopi gave a message to Krishna that Radharani, because of her separation from him and because of her enchantment with the aroma of his flower garlands, that's a vibhava, the enchantment, and that's an udipana. Alambana Udipana, that's not Krishna directly, but Krishna indirectly, was rolling on the ground, thereby bruising her soft body. That's an anubhava. I'm explaining so you get an idea of what these terms mean. Singing loudly. One gopi informed Krishna that when Srimati Radharani was singing about his glories, she enchanted all of her friends in such a way that they became stone-like and dull. At the same time, the nearby stones began to melt away in ecstatic love. So the vibhava is her chanting about Krishna's glories. And the anubhava is her friends becoming stone-like and dull. Actually, it's almost like if you have a cherry bhava, but let's take it as an anubhava right now. At the same time, the nearby stones began to melt away in ecstatic love. Remember, all the stones and entities in the spiritual world are conscious and they can melt. When Narada Muni was chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, he chanted so loudly that it was apprehended that Lord Nrsimha had appeared. Thus all the demons began to flee in different directions. So Narada Muni's chanting was the vibhava, and the demons running away. Stretching the body. It is said that sometimes when Narada, the carrier of the Veena, remembers his Lord Krishna in great ecstasy, that's the vibhava, the remembrance, He begins to stretch his body so vigorously that his sacred thread gives way. And that is an anubhava. So, really easy to understand these points. A gopi once said to Krishna, my dear son of Nanda Maharaj, crying loudly, a gopi once said to Krishna, my dear son of Nanda Maharaj, by the sound of your flute, Srimati Radharani has become full of lamentation and fear, and thus with a faltering voice, she is crying like a kurari bird. So the sound of the flute is the vibhava, and that's the udipana, so it's not directly Krishna. And the lamentation and fear and crying like a kurari bird, that's the anubhava. It is described by hearing the vibration of Krishna's flute. Lord Shiva becomes very puzzled and begins to cry so loudly into space that the demons become vanquished and the devotees become overwhelmed with joy. So Krishna's flute again is the vibhava, the deepana, and Lord Shiva becoming puzzled and crying loudly and demons becoming vanquished and devotees becoming joy is the anubhava or anubhavas. Yawning. It is said when the full moon rises, the lotus petals become expanded. Similarly, when Krishna used to appear before Radharani, her face, which is compared to the lotus flower, would expand by her yawning. That doesn't mean she was tired of Krishna. So in other words, the vibhava was Krishna directly. That's an alambana. And the anubhava is the yawning. It's pretty easy to understand. I think by the time we finish with these classes, everyone will understand Bob, it's really important to understand this topic because one day you will all be experiencing these things. Wow. So you have to know what it means. As far as breathing heavily is concerned, it is stated, Lalita, one of the gopis, is just like a Chatakai bird, which only takes water falling directly from the rain cloud and not from any other source. In this statement, Krishna is compared to the dark cloud and Lalita is compared to the Chatakai bird seeking only Krishna's company. The metaphor continues to say, as a heavy wind sometimes disperses a mighty cloud, so the heavy breath from Lalita's nostrils causes her to miss Krishna, who would disappear by the time she recovered herself. In other words, she saw Krishna, and she just started breathing heavily. And then that heavy breathing caused her to miss Krishna. So the seeing Krishna was the vibhava, and the heavy breathing was the anubhava. Neglecting the presence of others. As far as neglecting the presence of others is concerned, the wives of the brahmanas who were performing sacrifices at Vrindavan left home as soon as they heard that Krishna was nearby. They left their homes without caring for their learned husbands. The husbands began to discuss this among themselves. How wonderful is the attraction for Krishna that has made these women leave us without any care. This is the influence of Krishna. Anyone who becomes attracted to Krishna can be relieved from the bondage of birth and death, which could be compared to the locked-up homes that were neglected by the wives of the brahmanas. In other words, that's a story in the Krishna book where Krishna wanted something to eat, and he sent the coward boys ultimately to ask the wives of the brahmanas, and the wives of the brahmanas just like dropped everything, including their kids, took all the food to feed Krishna. And so the Vibhava was hearing that Krishna was hungry. Krishna wanted something. That's an udipana. And the anubhava was just running away from their home. In the Padjabali, there's a statement by some devotees, we shall not care for any outsiders. If they should deride us, then we should still not care for them. We shall simply enjoy the transcendental mellow of chanting Hare Krishna, and thus we shall roll on the ground and dance ecstatically. In this way, we shall eternally enjoy transcendental bliss. So, in other words, the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra is the Vibhava, because it's not different from Krishna. It's Krishna's name, so it's an udipana. And rolling on the ground and dancing ecstatically is the anubhava. And eternally enjoying transcendental bliss. Drooling. An example of running down of saliva from the mouth is stated that sometimes when Narada Muni was chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, he remained stunned for a while and the saliva oozed from his mouth. So drooling is the anubhava, and the Hare Krishna mantra, you find many instances where the chanting of Hare Krishna is actually a vibhava, because it's Krishna, it's directly Krishna. Of course, it's generally considered an udipana, but it is 100% Krishna. The chanting or the holy name of Krishna is 100% Krishna. And you'll see that mentioned many times by chanting Hare Krishna, you know. Like Lord Chaitanya talks about that, about when will that day come when I chanting Hare Krishna in full ecstasy, laughing like a madman. When a devotee laughs very loudly like a madman, it is done out of an extraordinary agitation of ecstatic love within the heart. Such mad laughing is an expression of the condition of the heart, which is technically called atahasa. Hasa means, hasa means it's laughing or humor. Atta means very. When a devotee becomes affected with his mental condition, his love is expressed through the lips. The laughing sounds come in one after another compared to flowers falling from the creeper of devotion which grows within the heart of the devotee. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, devotional service to the Lord is also compared to a creeper which rises up to the lotus feet of Krishna in Goloka Vrindavan. Wheeling of the head. One gopi told her friend, it appears that Lord Krishna, the enemy of the demon Aga, has released from his mouth a whirlwind which is acting on your head and is gradually proceeding to do the same to the other lotus-eyed gopis. In other words, I guess they saw Krishna. Oh, remember Krishna, the exact vibhava is not really mentioned here, but the anubhava is mentioned, the wheeling of the head. Belching. Sometimes belching also becomes a symptom of ecstatic love for Krishna. There is evidence of this in Purnamashi's address to one crying associate of Radharani. My dear daughter, don't be worried because Srimati Radharani is belching. I am about to offer a remedial measure for this symptom. Do not cry so loudly. This belching is not due to indigestion. It is a sign of ecstatic love for Krishna. I wish it was a sign of ecstatic love for Krishna in my case. I shall arrange to cure this belching symptom immediately. Don't be worried. This statement by Purnamasi is evidence that ecstatic love for Krishna is sometimes manifested through belching. And the reason for that is that someone becomes so ecstatic that, you know, just the airs of the life come up, of the body come, and they go, ah. Sometimes it's connected with laughing, and sometimes there may be also hiccups too. Sometimes trembling of the whole body and hemorrhaging from some part of the body are also manifested in response to ecstatic love for Krishna. But such symptoms are very rare, and therefore, Srila Rupa Goswami does not discuss any further in this point. Trembling of the whole body. Hemorrhaging means you start bleeding from different parts. And Lord Chaitanya manifested this. It's usually so rare that only, like, absolutely pure devotees, usually Radharani, Lord Chaitanya, it's the highest, one of the highest stages of ecstasy and pure love of God. So these bhavas are ecstasy, emotional ecstasies. Now the next topic is existential ecstatic love. So we just talked about anubhavas. The next one is sattvika bhavas. There's eight of those, called the Ashta, which means eight, sattvika bhavas, and these are sometimes translated as existential ecstatic love. That means because the devotee is situated in Shuddha-sattva, so the consciousness of the prana comes in contact with Shuddha-sattva, and these bhavas are manifested within one's life. When a devotee is always intensely, so these are constitutional. You understand that part of a devotee's constitution. When a devotee is always intensely affected by love for Krishna in a direct relationship with him, or even a little apart from him, his status is called existential ecstatic love. These symptoms originating from such existential ecstatic love are divided into three headings, namely moist, burnt, and dried up. It gets a little technical here. Don't worry about remembering everything. So, a moist, ecstatic, existential ecstatic love arousing connection with Krishna is divided into two, direct and indirect. Radharani was weaving a garland of kunda flowers. Upon hearing the vibration of Krishna's flute, there's the bhava, she immediately stopped her work. This is an example of direct, moistened, existential, ecstatic love. Indirect, moistened, existential, ecstatic love is described in the following statement. Krishna, who is called Purushottam, is to the eyes of Mother Yashoda, just like the cloud is to the eyes of the Chatuki bird. When Krishna had been brought to Mathura, Mother Yashoda, being anxious and angry, began to rebuke the king of Mathura. So in other words, that's direct is really has more to do with Krishna, and indirect means it becomes focused on someone else. So anyway, even though it's a manifestation of ecstatic love, burnt existential ecstatic love is divided into three. And one example is as follows. One day, Mother Yashoda was dreaming that a gigantic Putin was lying in the courtyard of her heart, and she immediately became anxious to seek out Krishna. There's anxiety there. When there are manifestations of ecstatic symptoms in the body of a non-devotee, these are called dried-up symptoms of ecstatic love. The non-devotees are actually materialistic, but in contact with some pure devotee, they sometimes may manifest some symptoms of ecstasy, devotional service, the devotional scholars, call these dried-up symptoms. In other words, to be more specific, in Rupa Goswami's Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu originally, he says that if they hear, come in contact physically with a pure devotee, some ecstatic kirtan, or some ecstatic recitation of the Srimad Bhagavatam or other bhakti literatures, even the non-devotee can feel ecstatic. And I've given that example before. The one time, it was one of many examples. One time we were doing a festival in San Diego many, many years ago before any of you appeared in this world in the present bodies. And I was distributing books. Isn't that amazing? Little old me. So I was distributing books, and I was distributing books around along the periphery of the festival, I mean the outside section of the festival, and I approached one man, and he just said, "Why am I feeling so much happiness here, so much ecstasy?" And he had never come in contact with devotees before, and he was just like practically shivering in ecstasy, and he thought maybe we were just burning marijuana or something like that, and he was breathing it. But that was because he was very close to several different things, Prabhupada's books that were being distributed by this humble servant, and also the sound vibration of the kirtan that was there, and the devotees distributing prasadam and everything. Anyway, so that was called dried up ecstatic love. One can experience it. And sometimes that draws someone into Krishna consciousness. Wow, I came into the temple. I felt so much ecstasy. What was that? So, but when you join the movement, Krishna makes you work for it. There are eight symptoms of existential ecstatic love: becoming stunned, perspiring, standing of the hairs on the body, is the ashtasattva-gavara, faltering of the voice, trembling of the body, changing of bodily colors, shedding of tears, and devastation. And some of these symptoms of existential ecstatic love, or anubhava, or the vyabhachari bhavas, which we'll probably get to next, they seem to overlap or be repetitive, and that's all right. But existential ecstatic love is like part of your identity. The scientific explanation of these eight symptoms is given by Rupa Goswami as follows. When the vital force of life is in contact with the earth, one is stunned. When the same force comes in contact with water, there is the shedding of tears. When the same force comes in contact with fire, there is perspiration. When the force comes into contact with the sky, there is complete devastation. And when the force comes into contact with the air, there is trembling, failing of the voice, and standing of the hairs of the body. These symptoms are sometimes manifested internally and sometimes externally. The pure devotees always feel such symptomatic expressions within themselves. That's why I said they're existential. They're part of the identity. But being afraid of outsiders, he does not generally manifest them externally. In other words, he holds them back. In other words, they're always part of your identity if you're a pure devotee. Okay, and we'll go over them one by one. Becoming stunned. The symptom of being stunned is caused by ecstatic tribulation, fearfulness, astonishment, lamentation, and anger. This symptom is exhibited by a stoppage of talking, a stoppage of movement, a feeling of voidness, and an extreme feeling of separation. When Uddhava was describing Krishna's pastimes to Vidura, he said, One day the gopis became stunned when Krishna, in the dress of a gardening maid, entered the greenhouse and enlivened them with joking and laughter. Then when Krishna left the greenhouse, the gopis were seeing Krishna so ecstatically that it was as though both their minds and eyes were following him. These symptoms signified that although the gopis' business was not finished, they had become stunned with ecstatic love. So, of course, Krishna was the vibhava in this particular case, but Krishna was in a different dress. Another example of being stunned took place when Krishna was surrounded by various wrestlers in the sacrificial arena of Kamsa. His mother, Devaki, then became stunned and her eyes dried up when she saw Krishna among the wrestlers. So that was, of course, seeing Krishna amongst the wrestlers, feeling fear, is part of her nature as a mother. There is also an example of the astonishment of Lord Brahma. It is explained in the 10th canto, 13th chapter, verse 56 of Srimad Bhagavatam, that when Brahma understood that this coward boy was the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself, he became stunned. All of his sensory activities stopped when he saw all the coward boys again along with Krishna. Lord Brahma was so stunned that he appeared to be a golden statue with four heads. Also, when the residents of Braj found that Krishna had lifted Govardhan Hill with his left hand, they became stunned. So these are all instances of Vibhava and Astasattvika Bhava. Astonishment caused by lamentation was exemplified when Krishna was entering into the belly of the Bakasura demon. That's a big stork. Sometimes devotees say duck. And all the demigods from higher planets became stunned with lamentation. A similar example of becoming stunned was visible in Arjuna when he saw that Ashwatthama was attempting to release his Brahmastra at Krishna. Perspiring. An example of perspiring because of jubilation is described in the Srimad Bhagavatam when Gopi addressed Radharani thus, "My dear Radharani, you are rebuking the sunshine unnecessarily, but I can understand that you are perspiring only because of your becoming too lusty at seeing Krishna." That's her constitutional ecstasy, and it comes out because of the vibhava of seeing Krishna. Perspiration caused by fearfulness was exhibited by Raktaka, one of the servants of Krishna. One day, Krishna dressed himself just like Abhimanyu, the husband of Radharani. Abhimanyu did not like Radharani's association with Krishna, and therefore, when Rataka saw Krishna in the dress of Abhimanyu and thus mistook his identity, he began to strongly rebuke him. As soon as Rataka finally understood that it was Krishna in the dress of Abhimanyu, he began perspiring. This perspiration was caused by fearfulness. This is wonderful. You could see that actually the spiritual world was not just like formless, without variety. So many like cool things are happening in the spiritual world. Perspiration due to anger was exhibited by Garuda, the eager who is the eagle. Eagle who is the carrier of Vishnu. Once the heavenly king Indra was sending torrents of rain over Vrindavan, Garuda was observing the incident from above the clouds, and because of his anger, he began perspiring. So the stimulation was actually the people attacking Vrindavan, and the Astasattvika Bhava was perspiration. Standing of hairs on the body. The standing up of hair on the body was manifested when Mother Yashoda found within Krishna's mouth all the universal planetary systems. That's the story of the 10th canto of Bhagavatam. She had asked Krishna to open his mouth wide just to see whether he'd eaten dirt, but when Krishna opened his mouth, she saw not only the entire earth, but also many other planets within his body. This caused a standing up of the hair on her body. She also saw herself within his mouth. The standing of hair on the body resulting from jubilation is described in the 10th canto, 30th chapter, verse 10 of Srimad Bhagavatam, in connection with the gopis' occasion in the rasa dance. During this rasa dance, Krishna disappeared all of a sudden with Radharani, and the gopis began to search him out. At that time, they addressed the earth and said, "Dear earthly planet, how many austerities and penances you must have undergone to have the lotus feet of Krishna always touching your surface. I think that you must be very jubilant because the trees and plants, which are just like hairs on your body, are standing up so gloriously." May we ask you first, no, when we ask when you first got these symptoms, have you been enjoying this jubilation since you were touched by the incarnation Vamana, or since you were delivered by the incarnation Varaha? So that's the Asthasattvaka Bhava of the earth planet, which is a pure devotee. She is a pure devotee of Krishna. Krishna would sometimes perform mock fighting along with the coward boys. When Krishna blew his horn in his mock fighting, Sridham, who was on the opposing side, felt his bodily hairs stand up. Similarly, when Arjuna saw Krishna in his gigantic universal form, there was a standing of the hairs on his body. So these Asthasattvaka Bhavas, they're always there, just getting ready to manifest. Faltering in the voice. Remember, the Anubhavas are something you do voluntarily. Asthasattvaka Bhavas are just like the constitutional ecstasy. It's just a question of the right stimulation to bring them out. It's not a voluntary thing. When Krishna was going to Mathura in the chariot driven by Krura, Yashoda and all the gopis came to try to forbid him to pass and block his way. At that time, Radharani was so perturbed that in a faltering voice she requested Mother Yashoda to please stop Akrura. So the Vibhav was actually Krishna going to Mathura, and the Sattva-Gabhav was the faltering voice. Faltering of the voice resulting from wonder was exhibited by Brahma. It is said in the Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, 13th chapter, verse 64, that after bowing down before Lord Krishna, when Brahma began to rise, he prayed to the Lord in a faltering voice. In the 10th canto, 29th chapter, verse 30, another example of faltering of the voice was exhibited by the gopis when they came to Krishna desiring to dance with him. Krishna asked them to go back to their husbands and homes. The gopis apparently became very angry and began to talk to Krishna with faltering voices. Actually, it's a wonderful story in Bhagavatam where Krishna starts to advise the gopis about Dharma. He says, why didn't you come here? You know, it's very dangerous. You go back home and Dharma, you should be with your families. It's an amazing part of the Bhagavatam. Actually, the whole Bhagavatam is amazing. In the 10th canto, 39th chapter, verses 56 and 57 of Srimad Bhagavatam, a faltering voice due to jubilation was exhibited by Akrura when he was shown all the Vaikuntha planets resting within the river Yamuna. When Akrura understood that Krishna was the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he bowed his head to Krishna's lotus feet and with folded hands began to pray in a faltering voice. Faltering voice, that's another Asthasattvaka Bhava. There are also examples of faltering of the voice caused by fearfulness. One of Krishna's friends praised him thus, my dear friend, your flute was given to your servant Putri, and when I asked him to return it, he began speaking in a faltering voice and his complexion became yellow. Changing complexion, that's also part of it. In Asthasattvaka Bhava. When Krishna was trying to capture the demon, Shankha, Radharani began trembling out of fearfulness. Similar trembling of the body was exhibited in Sahadeva, the younger brother of Nakula. When Shishupal was vehemently blaspheming the Lord, Sahadeva began to tremble out of anger. The sack, the Rajasuya sacrifice of Narayashuddha's deal. And remember, Krishna was the one who actually killed Shishupal. Trembling of the body was also exhibited by Radharani out of tribulation. Radharani trembled as she told one of the gopis, don't joke with this disappointing boy. Please ask him not to approach me, because he is always the cause of all grief for us. So, changing of bodily color. Sometimes due to great aggrievement caused by the dealings of Krishna, the body changes color. The gopis therefore address the Lord thus, dear Krishna, due to separation from you, all the denizens of Vrindavan have changed their color. And because of this change of color, even the great sage Narada was thinking of Vrindavana as a white island in the ocean of milk. When Krishna and Balaram were present in the arena of Kamsa, Kamsa's body changed color. Or fear, of course. Similarly, Indra's face changed color when he saw that Krishna was protecting all the denizens of Braja by lifting Govardhan Hill. If the color change takes place due to excessive jubilation, the hue turns red. Because such a change of color is so rare, Srila Rupa Goswami does not further discuss it at this point. Tears. Out of jubilation, anger, or separation, there may be the pouring down of tears from the eyes. When such tears are very cold, they are due to jubilation, and when they are due to anger, the tears become hot. In all cases, there is severe movement of the eyes, and the eyes generally become reddish. There's also an itching sensation which causes the sufferer to rub his eyes. When the lotus-eyed Rukmini, the first queen of Krishna and Dwarka, was shedding tears out of ecstatic jubilation, she did not like the tears. There's a passage in the Harivamsa wherein Satyabhama begins to shed tears because of her great affection for Krishna. An example of shedding tears because of anger was exhibited by Bhima when he saw that Shishupal was insulting Krishna in the Rajasuya arena of sacrifice. Remember, Shishupal was ultimately killed by Krishna. Bhima wanted to kill Shishupal immediately, but because Krishna did not order him to do so, he became morose with anger. It is described that there were hot tears covering his eyes as a thin cloud sometimes covers the evening moon. In the evening, when the moon is slightly covered by a thin cloud, it looks very nice. And when Bhima was shedding tears on account of his anger, he looked very nice. It's pretty ecstatic. This is one of my favorite chapters. In the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, 60th chapter, verse 23, there's a nice example of Rukmini shedding tears of lamentation. When Krishna and Rukmini were talking, Rukmini became frightened of separation from Krishna, and therefore she began scratching the earth with her red lotus-like nails. Because she was shedding tears, the black ointment from her eyes was dripping along with the tears onto her breast, which were covered with kumkum powder. Rukmini was so aggrieved that her voice was choked up. So just a little bit more about that story. Krishna wanted to tease Rukmini and basically make her angry, but because her mood was simply submission in relationship to Krishna, not like Satyabhama, she didn't get angry. Actually, what Krishna said to her is that you married the wrong guy. You know, basically, you're still young. You can get married to someone else. And Rukmini actually always looked young. And she got so upset, she fainted at that point. She didn't get angry at Krishna. So devastation. When a person is confused by simultaneous happiness and tribulation and does not know what to do, this state of confusion is called pralaya, or devastation. In this condition of pralaya, one sometimes falls down on the ground and all the symptoms of ecstatic love become manifest. When the gopis were searching after Krishna and all of a sudden he came out from the bushes and creepers, all of them became stunned and almost senseless. In this state, the gopis appeared very beautiful. This is an example of pralaya, or devastation in happiness. There are also instances of pralaya in distress. One such example is described in the 10th canto, 39th chapter, verse 15 of Srimad Bhagavatam, wherein Shivadev Goswami tells King Parikshit, "My dear king, when the gopis were missing Krishna, they were so much absorbed in meditation upon him that all their senses stopped functioning and they lost all bodily sense. It was as though they had become liberated from all material conditions." So degrees of ecstatic symptoms. Out of the many ecstatic symptoms of the body, the symptom of being stunned is especially significant. According to the degree of being stunned, the vital force within the body becomes agitated, and due to such a state, the other ecstatic loving symptoms sometimes become altered. These transcendental ecstatic symptoms gradually develop. In the course of such development, they are sometimes called smoky, sometimes called blazing, and sometimes called shining, depending on the degree. These three degrees are experienced for many, many years, and they extend to different parts of the body. Wow. Unlike the shedding of tears and faltering of the voice, the condition of being stunned is spread all over the body. It's like paralyzation. The shedding of tears and faltering of the voice are simply localized symptoms. Wow. The shedding of tears, however, sometimes makes the eyes become swollen and whitish, and sometimes the lenses of the eyes become differently focused. Faltering of the voice may sometimes cause choking in the throat and extreme anxiety. As the different symptoms of these ecstatic manifestations are localized, They're accompanied by different local reactions. That is, when the throat is choked up because of a faltering voice, there may be a sound like guru, guru. Actually, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu exhibited that. Such sounds choke the voice, and with extreme mental anxiety, they may be manifest in different ways. All these symptoms are listed under the dried up existential condition known as smoky, and they're exhibited in different ways. Sometimes, while participating in ceremonies, celebrating Krishna's pastimes or in the society of devotees, there is dancing ecstasy. Such sentiments are called blazing. None of the above symptoms can be manifested without the basic principle of strong attachment for Krishna. In the smoky condition of such ecstatic symptoms, the symptoms could otherwise be hidden. This type of symptom was experienced by priest Gargamuni, who was performing some ritualistic ceremony in the house of Nanda Maharaj. When he heard about Krishna's killing of the Agasura demon, there were some tears visible in his eyes, his throat was trembling, and perspiration covered his whole body. In this way, priest Gargamuni's beautiful face assumed a nice condition. When several such ecstatic symptoms are visible, the condition is called blazing. For example, it's a higher degree, one of Krishna's friends told him, "My dear friend, as soon as I heard the sound of your flute from within the forest, my hands became almost motionless. My eyes became full of tears, so much so, in fact, that I could not recognize your peacock feather. My thighs became almost completely stunned, so that I could not move even an inch. Therefore, my dear friend, I must acknowledge the wonderful vibration of your transcendental flute." That's blazing. Similarly, it's higher than smoking. Similarly, one gopi said to another, "My dear friend, when I heard the sound of Krishna's flute, I tried to hide myself from the reaction of the vibrations, but still I could not check the trembling of my body, and therefore all my friends in the house could detect my attachment for Krishna without any doubt." She's trying to hide it. When the ecstatic symptoms cannot be checked and they simultaneously appear in four or five different categories, this stage of ecstatic love is called shining. That's the highest degree. Smoking, blazing, and shining. The example is cited in this connection that when the sage Narada saw Lord Krishna standing before him, his body became so stunned that he stopped playing on his veena. Because of his faltering voice, he could not offer any prayers to Krishna, and his eyes filled with tears. Thus, Narada's ability to see Krishna was also obstructed. When similar symptoms were manifest in the body of Srimati Radharani, some of her friends criticized her. "Dear friend, you're blaming the aroma of the flowers for the tears in your eyes. You're rebuking the air for the standing of the hairs on your body. And you are cursing your walking in the forest for your thighs becoming stunned. But your faltering voice reveals the cause to be different. It is just your attachment for Krishna." Srila Rupa Goswami remarked that when various symptoms become manifest very prominently, the devotee's condition may be called the brightest. For example, a friend of Krishna addressed him as follows. "My dear Pitambara," means person who wears a yellow dress, "because of separation from you, all the residents of Goloka Vrindavan are perspiring." They are lamenting. That was not a symptom of ecstasy. That was indigestion. "They are lamenting with different words, and their eyes have become moistened with tears. All of them are in great confusion. There's a supreme symptom of ecstatic love, which is called Mahabhav." That means great emotions. This Mahabhav expression was possible only in Radharani. But later on, when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared to feel the mode of love of Radharani, he also expressed all the symptoms of Mahabhav. Sri Rupa Goswami says, in this connection, that when the symptoms of ecstatic love become the most bright, that stage is accepted as Mahabhav. Only in Radharani and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Srila Rupa Goswami analyzes the ecstatic loving expression into four divisions, which are called Sattvika Bhasha. Sometimes impersonalists who are not actually in devotional service may also exhibit such symptoms of ecstatic love, but this is not accepted as actual ecstasy, it is a reflection only. For example, sometimes in Varanasi, a holy city for impersonalistic scholars, there may be seen a sannyasi crying from hearing the glories of the Lord. Impersonalists also sometimes chant the Hare Krishna mantra and dance, but their aim is not to serve the Lord. It is to become one with the Lord and merge into his existence. Rupa Goswami therefore says that even if the reactions to chanting are manifested in the impersonalist body, they should not be considered to be symptoms of actual attachment for reflections only. Just like the sun reflected in a dark room through some polished glass. The chanting of Hare Krishna, however, is so nice and transcendental that will eventually melt even the hearts of people, persons who are impersonalists. Rupa Goswami says that the impersonalist symptoms are simply reflections of ecstatic love, not the real thing. I just want to see if there's any, how much more we have here. I think we're going to have to end here. Okay, so let's end and put my glasses on so I can see. Everybody went. So let's end here and we'll take some questions, if that's all right. Stop sharing and we will take some questions from all of you. Quite a few people tonight. This is really a wonderful chapter. I mean, you can tell just reading this chapter causes me to feel symptoms of ecstasy. Hold on a second. I'm ready to shiver in ecstasy, become stunned, roll on the ground, and whatever else. But not in front of all of you. It wouldn't be appropriate. Okay. Who has a question? Does anyone have a question?
Gurudev, please accept my humble obeisances.
Okay.
Very wonderful class, Gurudev. I really enjoyed it. Thank you so much. Just a quick one that you mentioned that chanting loudly is anubhava. Could you please elaborate a little bit about loudness of the chanting?
the loudness of the chanting? So, well, during it, at least in America, because we have this coronavirus right now, we don't, I'm just trying to find out where we are. We don't actually, we're almost at the end of the chapter. Okay, so we don't actually want to chant too loudly because the virus will spread and we have to wear masks anyway. So getting back to the philosophical point, chanting loudly means just like not being concerned with other people. You know, Hare Krishna, like that. Gauranga. Just like that. Chanting softly would be Gauranga, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. It's just like a symptom of ecstasy. You know, like if I go Gauranga, that's a symptom of ecstasy. If I go Gauranga, that's not a symptom of ecstasy. It's pretty easy to understand. As far as how many decibels, I don't know. We got to get a decibel meter to see how ecstatic someone is. Decibel means you can actually measure how loud someone is. If you're a very small devotee, like we have a very nice devotee here, Krishnapriya, when her chanting loudly is not as loud as my chanting. So it's a relative measurement. It's not an absolute measurement. How's that sound? And as far as dancing, my dancing cannot be compared to Champaka Lata's dancing. Her dancing pleases Krishna, and my dancing is I'm just trying to do some exercise so I don't get too old. My exercise for the day. So, anyway, so what are the questions you have?
What I'm thinking, if you are crying, if you are in a begging mood to Krishna during chanting, then chanting loudly in ecstasy, how would that work? Like, I'm just thinking, because I have heard some senior devotees chanting very loudly, like you just mentioned.
Well, chanting loudly artificially is not really recommended because it interferes with other people hearing and chanting. It's just like, you know, it's when one is actually feeling ecstasy, not imitation ecstasy. There's this whole interesting story. One time, this is during Lord Chaitanya's time, there was a man who was singing. He was like a snake charmer or something like that. And he was singing some songs about Ananta Shesh, who was an expansion of Balaram. So anyway, he was singing some snake songs, and Haridas Thakur was listening, and Haridas Thakur started rolling on the ground in ecstasy and dancing in ecstasy, and everybody was like really respectful to Haridas Thakur. There was a Brahmin in the audience who saw that and thought that, oh, I can actually get all the attention and profit, adoration, distinction that Haridas Thakur is getting. So he started imitating, and the snake charmer just started kicking him. And he said, why are you kicking me? You pay so much attention to Haridas Thakur. And then the snake charmer said, because you were just simply doing this out of imitation for the wrong reason. Mm-hmm. So we should not imitate these symptoms of ecstasy. Sometimes devotees do that, you know, Gauranga, you know, but it actually has to be a symptom of ecstasy. And generally the devotees like Prabhupada very, very, very rarely would do anything like that. Extremely rare, maybe 3 or 4 times that we can remember. In all of Prabhupada's pastimes, the Prabhupada did something like that. So it's not, you know, if you find someone exhibiting so-called symptoms of ecstasy every japa period, you've got to wonder about it. Because Prabhupada was always experiencing symptoms of ecstasy, but he was holding them back. So if you see someone doing it constantly, well, I'm not saying kick him, because you don't want to do that. But at least go somewhere else to chant your japa, because you won't be able to hear your own japa. You know, so a real devotee is not going to exhibit continually. It's going to be once in a, as they say, blue moon. Of course, it's a blue moon. This month is a blue moon. So it's once in a, very rare. So that's the point. But if you see someone continually just like doing this, you know, generally I would say, you know, I would say to the guy in Hindi, chuparo. No, don't do that. That's an offense. That's an offense. You don't want to do that. I would just go somewhere else. I would go somewhere else. Because it's not, you know, ecstasy, pure devotees don't exhibit constantly except when they rarely lose control. So.
Thank you, Maharaj. Thank you so much.
Pure devotees always experiencing, those are the constitutional ecstasies, but you will not see it unless you're another pure devotee. So here's a question from a devotee. On which stage will the name, form, and pastimes revealed to the devotee? They start to be revealed to the devotee on the Raganuga platform of sadhana. They start to be revealed. First you got the name, Nama Rupa Guna Lila. Nama Rupa Guna Lila. Actually, some people express it Nama Guna Rupa Lila, and some people say Nama Rupa Guna Lila. Anyway, whatever it is. First, there's the name, form, pastimes. They start to be revealed when one is on the platform of Raganuga Sadhana, after one has taken care of most of anarthas. When one is nishta, steady as a rock, not steady as a rock, sorry, but steady in devotional service, then you can begin to have a glimpse. And then as you advance, that glimpse becomes, let's say, further into focus, more and more into focus, and eventually becomes extremely clear. And then you enter into the pastimes when you come to the stage of prema. Okay, who else has a question? I mean, these are advanced stages we're reading about right now. Don't imitate them, but
Hare Krishna,
it's
Gurudev.
very good to understand them. Yeah. Siddharma, you have a question.
Yeah, Hare Krishna, Gurudev, please accept my humble obeisances. All grace to Srila Prabhupada. Gurudev, like when we are chanting, is it all right to have Srila Prabhupada chanting and we chant with Srila Prabhupada?
It's all right. I mean, I don't find any problem with it, although I can't hear my own chanting.
Yeah.
But, you know, everybody's different. When Prabhupada tape on chanting, I just hear Prabhupada. I can't hear my own chanting. I just, like, completely focus on Prabhupada. So, but some people can have Prabhupada in the background and hear their own chanting, but I don't hear my own chanting. Prabhupada is so attractive, or his chanting is so attractive, that my chanting in comparison is very little. But it works. Yeah, if you can hear your own chanting at the same time, go ahead. There's no prohibition. Some temples, they actually put it so loud that nobody could hear their own chanting. They put a tape and probe it. But generally, when the temples do that, and if I happen to be at a temple, I just go outside and chant my japa where I can hear myself chant.
Mm-hmm.
But everybody's different. I'm not saying one thing's right, one thing's wrong. Everybody's a different personality.
Thank you, Gurudev.
Any other questions?
Hare Krishna, Gurudev. Shama Priya here.
Yeah, Hare Krishna, Shama Priya.
Hare Krishna.
Do you have any questions?
I do. What if someone is, say, like, for example, leading a kirtan, and they are not singing directly about Krishna, but they're singing, say, for example, Radharani, and they start crying and they can't lead the kirtan anymore. Is it like some initial stage of sambhava, or if they're chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra and their mind goes to a certain location, say Lord Nityananda's birthplace, and they cry or something like that?
Well, if they're in an ISKCON temple, they should be chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra.
Yeah.
So I don't want to comment on them. You know, they may be great pure devotees that are exhibiting ecstasy, but that wasn't Prabhupada's mood. Prabhupada's mood is we chant Hare Krishna, and of course we can honor the deities by chanting the names of the deities, which I do, you know, Radhagalokananda, and I do a little Radhe at the end. But not that I would never do a kirtan, Radhe. I remember, this is actually funny. I was staying at someone's house in another country, not this country, and this person had just invited their friend over for the night, and I couldn't sleep because all night long these two ladies were just chanting Radhe, 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 and I was thinking, why don't they just be quiet? I want to go to sleep. The Radhe, Radhe, no. Nidra. So, it's not, our system is we chant Hare Krishna. Why?
Yeah.
Because Hare is Radhe.
Yes.
It's Krishna calling out for Radharani. Hare Krishna, it's complete. You really can't have Radha without Krishna or Krishna without Radha. You know, it's like people want to worship Lakshmi without Narayan.
Yep.
Or Ravan who wanted, I'm not saying it's on the same level, I gotta be careful. But anyway, we need to chant the way Prabhupada taught us.
Yeah.
You know, Prabhupada would get pretty upset if people changed the methodology of kirtan. I change the instruments, but I don't change the how we do kirtan.
We do sing the, say, for example, Radhe Jaya Jaya Madhav Daite.
That's a song written by Rupa Goswami, yes.
Yeah.
But that shouldn't be sung. That may be sung, well, I sing it when we're greeting the deities. I don't sing it during the kirtan, Mangalarti kirtan, or during the other kirtans, because that's not supposed to be sung during that time.
Okay. Yeah.
During the Mangalarti kirtan, we're supposed to sing Gurvashika, and then Prabhupada Pranam, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, you know, and that's about it.
Yeah.
And in the evening you have the Gaura Aarti and then Hare Krishna.
Yes.
It's really not, I mean, those are not kirtans anyway.
Okay.
Those are bhajans.
Oh,
and Prabhupada certainly did chant many of these bhajans, but he didn't chant them as kirtans.
Yeah.
That's the difference.
Okay. And for the chanting, say we are chanting and locations come in mind or pastimes of Krishna.
That's fine.
That's fine. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's fine. That's ecstatic. If some location, of course, hopefully not the Sydney Harbour Bridge or something comes to mind.
No, that doesn't happen. Eka Chakra does.
Chakra, yeah. Anyway, so yeah, certainly there's no problem that this comes to the mind. The main thing is to hear the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, the holy name while we're chanting.
Okay.
All right, who else? Gauranga. I guess that's it. Nobody else has a question. Uh-oh. Agora Hari, you have a question? No.
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Hare Krishna.
Send my obeisances.
Jai, send my blessings. What's up?
Yes, I had a small question, and it's just concerning the science that you just spoke about, concerning the different emotions, feelings that a devotee has as he experiences bhakti. My question is, because I can relate to a lot of these feelings when you mention it. I'm know that they're not at the same level, but I noticed that many of these feelings experienced like a depression. Is that what you said? I don't know if I'm using the right word. Correct me if I'm wrong. But
these feelings, yeah, even a neophyte can experience these feelings. When they're in touch, we talked about that in the beginning of the chapter, when they're in touch with pure devotees, such as Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada's books, in touch with Bhagavatam, in touch with ecstatic kirtan, yes. But they're transitory at that point.
Yeah. I see. But my question was like is this an experience that also at a spiritual level, right? And if it is it, how could that happen? I mean, that's where my question is, because you experience, yes, that you have the feeling of depression and you have this feeling in the spiritual level.
Depression,
it's kind of like contradictory, but could you please expand?
Not really. Lord Chaitanya and the gopis would feel depression being separated from Krishna, but that depression was actually a ecstatic symptom, because they're by that depression there. It's not like material depression. Like material depression is just like complete overwhelming sadness, but spiritual depression is, you know, feeling separation Krishna. I'm considering a moment to be like 12 years more, tears are flowing from my eyes like torrents of rain. It's not like material. That's spiritual. All right, so on that happy note, I hope none of you get depressed.
One more question, Maharaj. One more question.
Yeah.
Is there a way that we can download your videos? I've been trying to download your videos so I can listen to them and listen to them again.
From YouTube, you mean?
Yeah, maybe. Oh, from YouTube?
They're all on YouTube. Yeah. They're all on YouTube.
I got you.
There's different ways to download YouTube videos. If you just Google, there's different ways to download YouTube videos. You may have to use a third party or something like that. But everything is on YouTube. All these different videos of these classes, I post on YouTube right after I give them.
Okay.
Okay? All right.
Thanks.
Thank you very much. All glory. So we'll see everybody or hear from everybody or be in contact with everybody tomorrow. Thank you all for joining us. All glory is to His divine grace, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Jai.